All right, pilgrims. It's time for our next episode of The Way of a Pilgrim, the Jesus Prayer Journey. We pick up our pilgrim right after the woman has explained to our pilgrim the true nature of the priest at the church that they've just attended a matins service at. And the pilgrim said, her words about the priest reminded me of the saying of Nikitas Stathatos in the Philokalia. These words here, let's repeat them. The nature of things is measured by the interior disposition of the soul. That is, the kind of person one is will determine what he thinks of others. And he goes on to say, he who has attained a genuine prayer and love no longer puts things into categories. I guess we wouldn't need labels anymore then, would we? He says he does not separate the righteous from the sinners, but loves all equally and does not judge them. Just as God gives the sun to shine and the rain to fall, both on the just and the unjust. Let's pick it up right there. This was followed again by silence. A blind beggar from the guest house sat across from me. Can't help but wonder, friends, if his name was Bartimaeus. The master fed him, cutting up his fish for him and handing him a spoon filled with broth. I noticed that the beggar's mouth was constantly open, and his tongue kept moving inside, as if it were trembling. This caused me to wonder if perhaps he was a man of prayer, so I continued to watch him. At the end of the meal, one of the old women suddenly became so ill that she began to moan. The master and his wife took her into their bedroom and laid her on the bed. The wife stayed to watch over her, while the priest went to get the pre-sanctified gifts, just to be on the safe side. The master ordered his carriage and went to fetch the doctor, and the rest of us departed. I felt a prayerful inner quiet, a deep need to pour out my soul in prayer, and it had already been 48 hours since I had experienced any silence or solitude. I felt as if a flood were building up in my heart that strained to burst forth and spill out into the rest of my body. The effort to contain it caused a kind of soreness in my heart, a pleasurable feeling that insistently demanded the peace of silence and could be satisfied only by prayer. Through this, it was revealed to me why people who had attained to genuine self-acting interior prayer fled company and took refuge in solitude. I understood also why the venerable Hesychios said that even the most beneficial conversation was idle chatter when taken to excess, just as St. Ephraim of Syria said, good speech is silver, but silence is pure gold. As I thought about all this, I walked to the guest house where everyone was resting after the meal. I climbed up to the attic, calmed myself, rested, and prayed a bit. When the beggars had gotten up from their rest, I found the blind man and walked with him just beyond the kitchen garden, where we sat down alone and began to talk. For God's sake, would you tell me if you are praying the Jesus Prayer for spiritual benefit? I have been praying it unceasingly for quite some time now, he replied. And what is your experience of it? Only that I cannot be without the prayer day or night. How did God reveal this practice to you? Tell me everything, dear brother. Well, you see, I once earned my living as a tailor, traveling to other provinces and villages, making clothing for the peasants. One time I happened to spend a longer time in one of the villages, living with a peasant for whose family I was making clothing. On one of the feast days, I noticed three books lying near the icon case. And I asked, "Who in the household knows how to read?" "No one," they replied. "These books were left to us by our uncle, who knew how to read and write." I picked up one of the books and opened it at random. On one of the pages, I happened to read the following, which I still remember to this day. It said, "Unceasing prayer is calling always upon the name of God, whether one is conversing or sitting down, walking, working, or eating, or occupied with any other activity. In all places and at all times, one should call upon the name of God." After reading this, I began to realize that it would be quite convenient for me to do this. So I began to repeat the prayer in a quiet whisper while I sewed. I found it much to my liking. The others living with me in the hut noticed my behavior and began to ridicule me for it. "What are you, a sorcerer?" they asked. "What are you whispering all the time? Are you trying to cast a spell?" So to cover up what I was doing, I stopped moving my lips and began to pray only with my tongue. Eventually, I grew so accustomed to the prayer that day and night my tongue would form the words on its own, and this became quite pleasant. So I lived this way for quite a while, going from village to village to sew, until all of a sudden I was stricken with blindness. Almost everyone in our family suffers from dark water. When I became poverty-stricken, our guild placed me in an almshouse in Tobolsk, the capital of our province. I was on my way there when the master and mistress urged me to stop over here so they could provide me with a cart that would take me there. "What was the name of the book you read?" I asked him. "Was it, by any chance, the Philokalia?" "I do not honestly know. I didn't even look at the title." I brought my Philokalia to him, and in part 4, I found the passage by Patriarch Callistus that the blind man had just quoted from memory. I read it back to him, and he cried out, "That's it! That's exactly it! Keep on reading, brother. This is truly wonderful." When I got to the line, "One should pray with the heart," he began to ply me with questions. "What does this mean? And how do you do this?" I told him that all the teachings on the prayer of the heart were provided in detail in this book, the Philokalia. He begged me to read the whole thing to him. "I tell you what to do," I said. When are you leaving for Tobolsk?" "I'm ready to leave at any time," he replied. "Then let's do this. Since I am also planning to head out tomorrow, you and I can travel together, and I can read to you everything concerning the prayer of the heart as we go. I'll also explain how to locate the place of the heart and how to enter into it." "But what about the cart?" he asked. "What do we need with a cart? It's really only 100 miles to Tobolsk, and we'll go slowly. Think how good it will be for the two of us alone to travel together. It will be much easier for us to talk and read about prayer as we walk." And so we agreed. Amen.